Good morning, everybody. Welcome. You who are willing to brave the cold and the snow, whether some of you on bikes, unbelievable. Thank you, man. And the rest of you who are joining us online, I already heard some folks here say, like, man, if I weren't having to serve today, I would have been watching online. And so congratulations to those of you who made the wise choice of of watching online, snug in your blankets or whatever it is that you got going on there. The rest of us here, we're making it. So we'd like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for a long, long time. What happened to our little? That's what I've got? There's no the Lord be with you and also with you in there? Oh, well, hey, I'll say it anyway. The Lord be with you. You guys figured it out. All right, good. We'd like to begin with that greeting because we need to know that God is with us. We need to know that he meets us right here in the midst of the cold and the snow and the injuries and the illness and everything else that we've got going on. God meets us right where we are. Man, I am grateful for that. And that's our hope every Sunday when we gather together. Every Sunday when we gather, it's our hope that we experience God's presence. That we don't just know it as like, yeah, I know God's always with us. You know, he never leaves us, never forsakes us. But that we have an awareness, a sense that the God who made us actually does love us and really is here with us. So to kind of move us in that direction, would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray for a moment. God, thank you for all that you do to help us be aware of your presence with us. This time of year with all the sparkly lights on the trees and things, they remind us of your light shining in the darkness. And I pray that today, all of us gathered together to worship you here at Living Hope and in all the churches around the world, God, that we would know your presence with us. That you would work through the songs and the scriptures and the prayers and the table. That you would use everything that we do in this coming hour to remind us of your presence, to help us to connect with you, to have a real sense of the God of the universe speaking to me, speaking to each one of us, reminding us of your love. Open our hearts and minds to you, we pray, that we might experience your presence, your grace, and your love today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think, awesome. If you're able, if you're interested, let's stand and let's sing.
Thank you. Lucas has got that joy. He was holding back just for a little bit, and then he broke that out. There's a lot of joy in drums. Even if the drummer isn't feeling the joy, you just feel the joy coming through. I think we got it. All right. We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. A few weeks ago when I was talking about mental health, but I was also talking about physical health, and I talked about having really bad carpal tunnel. Usually Sundays are not a day that I have really bad carpal tunnel, just coming up here to worship, but the devil is trying to move my mic and make me drop picks, and it has my hand completely numb. So if I keep dropping picks, that's what's going on. But we're not going to let the devil win. We're going to keep going. If I drop all the picks, I'm going to use my fingers. we're going to worship no matter what. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. You're hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. He didn't want heaven without us. Was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. He silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. He is alive and we have found our peace. Our King has come. He is alive and we are free. He is alive and we have found our peace. Our King has come. He is alive and we are free. He is alive and we have found our peace. Our King has come. He is alive and we are free. He is alive and we have found our peace. Our King has come. Our King has
Amen. I invite you to join me in prayer if you would. Lord, your name truly is beautiful. The name of Jesus. The name that at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Lord, I'm afraid that we often forget how much power is in that name. Is in your name. And when we call upon your name, Lord, mountains move. This morning, Lord, I know that there are many of us that have mountains in our lives that seem like we can never get over them. We can't go around them. We just have to wait for you to move them. Lord, in this season and in this Sunday of joy, it can also be hard to remember that our joy comes from you. Not from our circumstances, not from the things that are going on around us. Lord, our joy comes from you, and that joy is our strength. I'm so thankful, Lord, for the folks that are here this morning. Whether they're here with us in this building or they're here with us online, thank you for inviting us into your presence. Thank you for being here before we ever thought to step foot into this building today. You are already here, waiting for us and anticipating being with us, Father. Thank you. Thank you for the care and the grace and the kindness and the mercy that you show us. It can be hard to see sometimes, Lord, when life just happens and things go on that can be discouraging. But Lord, you are in all of that. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us, Lord, to see the places that you are blessing us in the midst of maybe some really ugly circumstances. Some things that are just trying us, trying our faith, testing us to see if we will endure. You are so good. Not just today, Lord, you are good every day. You have been good before, you'll be good tomorrow, you'll be good forever. And it's in your goodness that we trust. Be with Pastor Rich this morning as he brings us your word, the word that you've laid on his heart, that you've given him to speak to us. Let us hear it with our hearts, not just our ears. May we take it in and allow it, Lord, to transform us. Let us learn something new today, Lord, that we didn't know about you, about this Advent story, about what it means for us as we do all we can with the help of the Holy Spirit to be more and more and more like you to a world that needs to know you. We thank you again and we praise you, giving you all the honor, glory, and blessing as we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
While the folks in the room are getting back to their seats, just a quick word to those of you, again, joining us online. We're glad you're with us. Drop us a comment wherever you're watching to let us know that you're with us today. We'd appreciate that. And if there's something you'd like to communicate more privately, you can go to that link that's on your screen, livinghope.info/connect, and fill out a little digital connect card and share with us how we can pray for you, answer a question for you, whatever it might be. If I haven't met you, my name is Rich Schmidt. I'm one of the pastors here. And just a couple of brief announcements. Those of you in the room, if you want to, you can use that website too, obviously. Or you can just grab a little green card back there and jot your note on it or your prayer request or whatever it might be and drop it in the offering box. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in there too. Or you can give online. All of that works. Thank you so much to those of you who are generously supporting the work of this church, especially as we come to the end of the year. Like many organizations, maybe you've been getting the nonprofit appeals in your mailboxes. Like many organizations, we depend on the generosity of all of us who are involved in the church. That includes me and my wife and our giving. All of us, there's not some big outside organization funding this thing. It's us who believe in the work that this church is doing here and around the world. And so as the year approaches its end, we would love to close our books in the black instead of in the red like we are right now. So if you're thinking of giving some extra, or if you have questions about that, let me know, and we would love to put to good use whatever resources you want to commit to Christ and to his kingdom and through this church. I know many of you are supporting lots of different things, and that's a beautiful thing. My wife and I do as well. So I guess now's a good time to remind you of that verse that we have printed back there by the offering box and that we talked about earlier this year from the Apostle Paul in Scripture, that each one of us should give what we've decided in our hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so you talk to God about what he'd have you give here, there, everywhere, and then you do that, all right? And we'll trust that God will provide what's needed to do the work he's called us to do. All right, one other opportunity to give in the community. It's out there in the lobby is that little tree, Warm a Home tree. These are on the back of your bulletin if you picked one of these up. I don't have them on the screen for you. My apologies. But just like every winter, through our partnership with First Contact, we'd help provide people with keeping their utilities on, their heat on, their rent paid, that sort of thing. So if you want to do that, you can give directly to First Contact, or if you're giving through the church here, you can give to the Good Neighbor Fund, and we'll funnel it to them. And that way, they help dozens of people every winter stay warm and stay housed. We're just 10 days away from our Christmas Eve service. We'll be here Wednesday, December 24th at 5 o'clock for our candlelight Christmas Eve with the Christmas story and the Christmas carols and the candles and the whole deal. And at the end, take cookies to bless people in our community. If you like to make cookies, let us know. We'd love to receive those cookies so we can box them all up. Maybe you bring them with you next Sunday. Maybe you find a time to drop them off Monday or Tuesday that week. But we would love to have whatever cookies you'd like to make so that we can give them away. And I think that's all the announcements I needed to make. For those of you who come on Wednesday nights, with Christmas Eve being a Wednesday night, and I know like the Wednesday night Bible study and the youth group won't meet that night, but this coming week they still will. And in fact, the Wednesday night group does a little Christmas party every year with a little gift exchange and that kind of thing. So that's fine. So if you're a Wednesday night regular, we look forward to seeing you this Wednesday night. And if you've never come, you're welcome to show up as well. That's great. So before we dive into this morning's message, come on up here, Greg. I've asked Greg if he would light the Advent candles and do our reading for us. So, some of you guys know Greg Kunze. He's been at the church now for many moons. I don't know how long it's been. Almost 10 years? Wow. Have you ever lit these Advent candles before?
I have not.
Well, here's your chance.
What an opportunity. On the third Sunday of Advent, we relight the candles of hope and peace to remind ourselves that we serve a God of hope and peace. Pardon me while I do this. We remember that our hope is in the God who will swallow up death forever, and our peace is found in the God who will end war. As a people of hope and peace, we do not give in to despair or trust in the violence of this world. Today we remember that we are also a people of joy. We know joy during the chaos and sorrow of the world, not because we ignore it, but because we serve the God who is greater than all of it. We know joy because we lament the injustice and grief that are all around us. For in the act of lamenting, we join with the God of whom Psalm 146 says, "Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose help is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations." Praise the Lord. Thank you. We light the candle of joy today as a visible reminder that the joy of the Lord is in our strength.
Thank you, sir. This is a Sunday of joy. We finally get to light that little pink candle in the little Advent wreath. And one more next Sunday for the theme of love. And then Christmas Eve, get to light the Christ candle as we celebrate Christ's arrival on the scene. That's what Advent's all about, right? This season of anticipation, not just anticipating what you might find under the tree or anticipating what your loved one's expression will be when they open that gift, hoping it's a positive one, hoping it's full of excitement and joy when they open that present. But it's also reflecting on the anticipation that humanity felt waiting for Christ's appearance, that first when his first arrival, his first advent, and currently anticipating that day when he will return and bring all things, make all things right, turn all that's upside down right side up. Before we dive into the scriptures today, I would love it if we could bow our heads for a moment. Just one more word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for meeting us here. Meeting us as we lament all that is wrong in the world, and as we experience even now the beginnings of joy. Would you help us today to hear from you? Speak to us through the scriptures, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, that psalm that he read, Psalm 146, is a beautiful one. It reminds us of the kind of work that God is about here in the world, the kind of work that we see done then in the life of Jesus. In fact, Jesus at one point, is in a synagogue and rolls out the scroll of Isaiah and reads a very similar passage talking about how the Spirit of the Lord is on him to do these sorts of things, right? To set prisoners free, open the eyes of the blind, lift up those who are bowed down. This is the work that God is about in the world and the work that we get to join him in. And when these things happen, when we experience this, of course, that leads to joy, right? When you are knocked down and someone helps you up, it's like, oh, thank you. It's a cause for joy. When you're imprisoned and you're set free, it's cause for celebration. When you can't see and suddenly your eyes are opened, you want to throw a party because suddenly your life is richer, fuller, is more what God created it to be, and that is cause for joy. And so when God is at work, we find joy as being one of the things that we experience. It's just kind of a natural part of it. And Jesus brought joy. That's what we see in the Christmas story. Today we're looking at some from Matthew, some from Luke, some from John. We're looking at almost all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, and then a little bit from one of Peter's letters. But from Matthew chapter 1, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And I'm going to pause for just a second, because the way we read it, his mother Mary was, they were pledged to be married, but she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. We know it's through the Holy Spirit. She probably told Joseph that. But would you believe it if your significant other came to you and said, hey, guess what? We're having a baby. It's not yours. It's God's. I'm sure that was jarring for Joseph. The whole story of Jesus' arrival is filled with the ups, the downs, the ugliness, the chaos that life sometimes brings. And that's the kind of circumstance that Jesus enters into. He enters into a life, into lives then and into lives today that are filled with uncertainty, filled with disappointment, filled with problems. if you got problems, Jesus comes to you, right? If you got problems, that doesn't mean like, oh, well, if you can get things straightened out, then maybe God will care about you or love you or be with you. If you got problems, you're exactly the kind of person that Jesus comes to in the story of Scripture and still today. Well, fortunately, the story continues. After he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That name Jesus, you might have heard, I just heard this yesterday, actually. There was a memorial service here for Nick Brown, who's connected through family and friends and everything to Missy, who was just leading music up here. And the person who prayed for the food before we ate after the service said, like, in Yeshua's name, amen, at the end of his prayer. And I thought, I wonder how many people in the room are kind of thrown by that. because that's not, usually we pronounce it Jesus, right? But Jesus, like, that's the kind of Latinized Greek name, right, for Jesus. Just like your name, if you visit a different country, they're going to transform your name a little bit into something else. My name is Rich or Richard, and I go to Spain or a Spanish-speaking country, and I turn into Ricardo, right, or Rico, if they want to do the shortened version, which then leads to Rico Suave, and anyway. But our names change. Our names change from one language to the next, and the same is true for Jesus. If you ever hear anybody refer to Yeshua, they're referring to Jesus. It's the same as the name Joshua in the Hebrew language, and the name Joshua means the Lord saves. And so that's what he's saying. He's like, you're going to give him this name Jesus or Joshua, Yeshua, because he will save. He will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Which is kind of a funny little tag after you just said you're going to name him Jesus, not Emmanuel, but... We wouldn't have been surprised if they named him Emmanuel, because like, oh yeah, that's what the prophet said. But Emmanuel, I guess, was more of a nickname. God with us. They recognized that he was God with us. I don't want us to leave behind that phrase that he'll be given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. I just was interacting with somebody online this past week who, for whatever reason, you know, some people are just kind of antagonistic. You know, some people, you know, they know how to get along with folks. Other people just, they're just abrasive. They're just antagonistic. And this is one of those people. And they were just all upset about how churches, for some reason, they were saying, like, churches make it all about the pageants and the Christmas and the decorations. And they're losing sight of the reason for the celebration in the first place. They're losing sight of Jesus. I don't know what churches they're talking about, because every church I know that makes a big deal out of Christmas makes a big deal out of Christ, makes a big deal out of Jesus, and that's the reason for the season. But they were very concerned that in the midst of Christmas, we don't forget that line right there, that the reason Jesus came wasn't just to give us a nice celebration to brighten the darkness of winter. It wasn't just to give us a holiday where we can gather together and give presents to each other. The reason Jesus shows up, the reason he's named Jesus at all, is because he will save his people from their sins. Because there is something in us that needs fixed, that we need rescued from. There's something in each one of us. This is the story of Scripture from the first pages on down. That God creates this beautiful, perfect world and creates us. And right in the beginning, opening words of Genesis, you know, he sees that it was good, that it was very good, that it's complete, it's what he intended it to be. And then here we go, you know, we're not too far into it, and we decide we know better than God does, and we do things our own way, and things go downhill from there. I mean, that's what sin is. Sin is just us deciding we know better than God does, and then we live with all those consequences. The Bible says we've all done this. It's kind of the human story, and we all know that to be true, right? I don't think there's any one of us here in the room who would say, oh, not me. I've never sinned. I've never needed to ask forgiveness for anything. If you meet somebody who says they've never done anything they need forgiveness for, that person is not in touch with reality, okay? Because the reality we all experience is that we have sinned. We have hurt other people. We have hurt ourselves. We have contributed to the damage and the chaos in the world. And Jesus, in one place, I didn't put this in your notes, but he said everyone who sins is a slave to sin, that it enslaves us. We get trapped in it. Maybe that's been your experience. Maybe there's some particular way of life that you've gotten caught up into that has caused all kinds of damage to you, your family, your friends. And you have struggled to get free of it. Well, that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to save us, to set us free from our sins, so that we don't live in this world just perpetually like, well, I'm just a failure, but good thing God loves failures because that's me, and so God loves me, and I'll just never be able to be anything but a failure. No, Jesus came to rescue us, to save us from our sins, so that we don't have to wallow in them. We don't have to remain chained to them. We don't have to remain stuck in our sins. He wants to lift us up, to lift us out of that, into the life he created us to live. This is cause for celebration. This is cause for joy, right? I guess I've known several people lately who've been dealing with health issues and getting diagnoses and things like that, right? And sometimes that's Sometimes that's a reason for joy, just getting the diagnosis, because you know, like, oh, now I know what I'm dealing with. Now I know that there's actually hope for this. It was just this unknown mystery. It was scary before. Now I know, I have a label to put on it. I have an approach, to take, a treatment plan that we can follow that should result in health once again. But when you find yourself at the end of that journey, or when you get the news, like one friend did, they found they were in there doing something in her body, that needed done. And then when she came to and they were going over what they had done, they're like, oh, and we removed this tumor. Like, wait, tumor? What? Like, yeah, we didn't know it was in there, but we found it and we've removed it. And, we've sent it off to pathology. And when she got the news back that it was not cancerous, joy, right? Joy. When we find ourselves on the other side of that illness, on the other side of that diagnosis, when we find ourselves experiencing health, healed of our disease or our injury, it's cause for joy. And that's what save his people from their sins. Like that's the image in my mind when I think of that. I think, yep, we've broken ourselves by our selfishness. And Jesus comes to heal us. We've broken our relationships, and he comes to put them back together. Our relationship with God, our relationship with others, even our relationship with ourselves and our view of ourselves and the value that we bring to the world, the value we have in the eyes of God and the eyes of others, sometimes that, our relationship to ourself is broken, and he comes to save us from our sins, from that brokenness. It's cause for celebration, which is why the angels in Luke chapter 2, when they come to the shepherds, say, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, a rescuer. That's what save means, is rescue. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Like, look, the person who can rescue you is here, has been born. Everywhere Jesus shows up, There's joy. I mean, the Gospels from the beginning to the end. In fact, Luke, in the very first chapter, before you get to the angels, before Jesus is even born, when he's just there in Mary's belly, and she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist, and a little further along, Elizabeth says, "Man, as soon as you walked in," here's Luke chapter 1. I put it in there, the first chapter of Luke. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy," like because his Lord is here. Like, wow, Jesus shows up in the room before he's even born, he's bringing joy to people. As soon as he's born, it's an announcement that brings joy. At the very end of Luke's gospel, I included the last words. This is how he ends the whole thing. After Jesus has died on the cross for our sins, after he's risen from the dead, breaking the power of sin and death and the devil, setting us free, he's appeared to his disciples. And here, he's already appeared to them more than once. And in Luke 24, he says, "While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God." When God shows up in Jesus, and when Jesus does what Jesus does, when he brings healing, when he shines light into the darkness, when he sets prisoners free, when he lifts up those who are bowed down, when he shows that that sin is not more powerful than the grace of God, when he shows that death is not more powerful than the life and the power of God, and when he includes all of us in that, it's no wonder they return to Jerusalem with great joy. I kind of liked this moment as I was reading through the Gospels and the beginnings and the endings and where joy shows up. And in Matthew chapter 28, when the women go and they discover that Jesus is alive, and they're told by the angels, "Go tell his disciples." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. I thought, yeah, sometimes that's us. we've got mixed emotions because not everything is done yet. We've heard the announcement that God is on the scene, that the rescuer is here. We've heard that he will save his people from their sins, but there's still like stuff going on. We're still dealing with things. Not everything's been made right yet, right? Maybe we're still suffering the consequences of some of the sins we've previously committed, right? The way we've lived has accumulated some damage, some trauma, and we're still dealing with the repercussions. We've been forgiven, perhaps. You've come to Christ, he's forgiven your sins. You've experienced that new life, but you're still dealing with some of the consequences that come with it, or somebody else's sins against you. And you still have people that are hurting other people, sometimes aimed your direction. The women, hearing that Jesus was alive and had conquered death, were afraid yet filled with joy. This joy that comes with Jesus is not a denial of reality. It's not this. It's not us saying like, well, let's just pretend none of that pain exists anymore. Let's just put on a happy face and praise Jesus because God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. There's a song my kids like, Forrest Frank. I don't know if you've heard of him. Apparently kids like him a lot. And he's got a song that the chorus is, you know, God is good all the time. If he ain't, then you lying. It doesn't exactly, anyway. It rhymes for the kids, apparently. There's this idea that, like, you know, sometimes we hear that and we think, oh, well, then if I'm experiencing something that's lament-worthy, as Greg mentioned earlier, if I'm experiencing something that is just wrong, where the world's not right and it doesn't feel like God's being good right now, then am I lying? Am I off base? Am I not being faithful to acknowledge the truth of that? And no, that's a part of life. Fear is still a factor we have to deal with. Grief is still something we have to endure. Not all things have been made right yet, but we still have joy because Jesus is here, because God is with us, because we're experiencing even now that he is rescuing us, saving us from our sins. Jesus told his disciples in John 16, he's telling them ahead of time that he's going to be leaving them, what he's going to go through. And he says, you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby's born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. That might be a phrase you need to hang on to this Christmas season, this dark season, as we're making our way through winter, as you see the ways and experience the ways that life is not all that you would like it to be. That Jesus, we may experience a time of grief, but joy is coming, and no one will take away your joy. Maybe you need to hang on to the joy that you got and not allow the hurts of life to overshadow them. That's a phrase I love from the beginning of John's gospel, where it describes Jesus as the light that's come into the world. It says that the darkness has not overcome it. Whatever difficulty we face, whatever grief we experience, because Jesus is with us, we can have joy, a joy that no one can take away. So if you are in the midst of that, you know, we do have an enemy. You know, there are devils in the world. You know, we have an enemy who loves to lie, who loves to try to get us to believe things that aren't true. You know, again, from the beginning of the book, the snake in the garden, all the way to the end, the great dragon that's defeated. We have an enemy who will try to lie to you and say, no, this darkness is all there is. An enemy who will try to lie to you and get you to believe that, no, there's not really any hope for what you're going through. Even will lie to you and say, this whole idea that there's a God who loves you and is with you, that's just a story that pastors like to tell so that people will give to their church or whatever. But we believe it to be true. And this room, I'm looking around the room, this room is filled with people who would say, no, we have experienced it ourselves. God's faithfulness in the midst of trial. And that's why you are able to experience joy, even in the midst of pain. I mentioned I would read something from one of Peter's letters. Peter, who walked with Jesus, one of his 12 disciples, who experienced the grief that turned to joy as Jesus rose from the dead. One of those who returned to Jerusalem with great joy after Jesus left. He writes to these early Christians, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." If you ever wonder where our church's name comes from, Living Hope Community Church, it's that verse right there, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. He's saying, look, there is an aspect to our salvation, an aspect to our rescue that is waiting still to be revealed. This inheritance is still in front of us. It's not something we're fully experiencing now. He says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Again, here he is saying, look, you're rejoicing because you know what Jesus has done for you. You know that death has been defeated. You know that sin is not the end of us. We are shielded by his power, so we are rejoicing even though we might have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. He says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire. Let me back up, because that was a long sentence. These trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him. Now, Peter had seen him. The risen Christ, alive, after seeing him die. The people he's writing to didn't. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That word soul could also be translated life. You know, the rescue of your life. Your life rescued from slavery to sin. Your life transformed by God's Holy Spirit within you. The victory that Jesus Christ has won for us. King Jesus, when he shows up on the scene, it's why it's good news that brings great joy to all the people. Because he is a Savior who rescues, who sets free, who lifts up, who brings joy. A joy that no one, no circumstance can take away. Oh, it's my prayer that we will all experience that joy and live with it solidly throughout this Advent season, throughout the end of this year, all the way through the dark times until spring comes once again and joy becomes a little easier to imagine and to experience. My prayer for you, same as my prayer for me, that we will experience this glorious and inexpressible joy because of Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's pray to him before we celebrate communion. Before we go, thank you, God. Thank you that you don't ask us to pretend. You don't ask us to just act like everything's fine when it's not. You don't ask us to ignore the evil in the world, the evil that we have experienced or the evil that we have done. God, pretending gets us nowhere with you. Hiding is not what you want from us. So would you help us to come out into the open and be honest with you about both the joys and the sorrows of this life that we are experiencing? Would you help us to be honest and to lament those things that are wrong, to cry out to you for help, for justice, for strength, for forgiveness? Thank you, God. Thank you for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, who brings joy from beginning to end. Help us to experience that same joy as we put our trust in him. As we trust that in Jesus, you have done for us what we could never do for ourselves. You have rescued us from our sins. You have set us free so that we no longer have to be slaves to sin. But we can enjoy this beautiful freedom that you have won for us. Thank you, God. Thank you for the ways that that freedom is experienced here and now as people are set free from addictions, from anxieties, from greed, from carelessness, from all the different ways that sin and selfishness shows up in our lives, God. You are at work setting us free, making us into the people you created us to be as part of your good creation. Thank you, God. Thank you that today We get to celebrate this amazing love through the sacrament of Holy Communion. Together with Christians around the world, we offer to you these simple gifts of bread and juice. And we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, we remember that with your disciples, you took bread and broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup, said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Jesus, you said that this seals the new agreement, the new covenant between God and humanity. This is how we come to you and experience the grace, the hope, the peace, the joy, the love that you bring. Thank you, God, that because of Jesus, we know that we don't need to be afraid of you. We don't need to hide from you. Because of Jesus, we know that when we come to terms with the mess that we've made of our lives, of this world you've given us, of our relationships, when we come to recognize just how broken and sinful we are, because of Jesus, we know that we can come to you to receive mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most. Your word says that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So today, in light of your incredible gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, we offer you ourselves as flawed, as broken, as sinful as we may be. We've not loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've not loved our neighbors as ourselves. God, there might be specific things that you're dealing with us about right now. Things that we need to confess to you, sins we need to repent of, so that we can live a life of freedom and joy, so that you can rescue us, save us from those sins. Thank you, God. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love for each one of us here. I pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of Christ, that we might be changed from the inside out, so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands, as your feet, knowing ourselves to be your beloved sons and daughters. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'm going to let Pastor Judy be the one that distributes the elements today. So she'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and then return to your seats. We've got the regular little pieces of bread, the round gluten-free wafers, or the little cups, if you'd rather take those back to your seat, or maybe you've grabbed them on your way in. We want everyone to have a chance to participate today, to experience God's grace, and to give him thanks for his love. Let's celebrate.
Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father. forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
Thank you again, God, for the amazing love that you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I pray, fill us with the Spirit of Christ today so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your sons and daughters, as a people so overflowing with hope and peace and joy that it can't help but spill out and impact the lives of the people you send us to. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
And also you.
Thanks, Diane.